Welcome back to Turning Hard Times to Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me for the first time Michael Timmons. He is the president and CEO and a member of the board of directors of Fury Gold Mines, and it's really good to have him with us today. Fury is a successor company to RN Resources, which had been also a sponsor to this show in the past. In October of last year, RN acquired East Main Resources and changed the name of the company to Fury Gold Mines. East Main had developed an advanced stage gold project known as the Eau Claire Project in the James Bay region of Quebec. And those of you who followed RN in the past know also that that company had the Committee Bay Gold Project in Nunavut and the Homestake Ridge Project in British Columbia. So Fury Gold Mines is now purely a Canadian exploration company that is developing three very attractive and highly prospective gold projects. And concurrent with the acquisition of East Main Resources, RN spun off its two Peruvian gold and copper projects into two private companies. Those two companies remain private as of this date. So that's the history and origin of Fury Gold Mines. And so we want to say hello to Michael Timmons, who, as I mentioned, is the president and director of Fury Gold Mines. He brings over 20 years of experience as a mining executive from his work with a number of companies, including household name companies like Agnico Eagle Mines and Placer Dome. Mr. Timmons was vice president in corporate development of Agnico, where he played a key role in the development of the Kittila mine in northern Finland, and in the acquisition of Osisko Mining for $3.9 billion. He has degrees from Queen's University, an EMBA. The University of British Columbia is a master's in science and metallurgy, and from Bishop University. And he also serves as a director and of the audit committee member for Exelon Resources, another company that yours truly is familiar with has been in the past. Michael, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jay. I'm certainly happy to be here, and thank you for the introduction and quite an accurate history of Fury.
Yeah, it's one that I followed from the old days, and I did know the East Main Company, too, some time ago. So I'm really delighted to have you here. I wonder if you could just perhaps give us a little background of those three projects, the Eau Claire, the Committee Bay, and Homestake Ridge. Talk to us a little bit about what you have there now and what your exploration plans are going forward this year.
Sure, I'll start with a bit of a blurb on Fury. So, as you pointed out, explorer developer focused on high grade gold in Canada, and the vision is to build a mining company, right? But I would say for the first 24 to 36 months, it's going to be exploration, right? Mm-hmm. That means growth. That means large scale exploration, and probably some smart acquisitions as we go as well, not just the projects we have. Uh-huh. Across the platform, 3.7 million ounces of gold at an average resource grade of around 7.3 grams per ton. So I think that's a standout. And there's a suite of assets that we have. We've got 80 to 100,000 meters of drilling plan over the next 18 months. It's really going to launch the new company and drive valuations this year. In our view, it's big action plans equal big gains in value, right? And that's what we got lined up for shareholders in 2021. As you pointed out, the lead asset, and we're really thinking about this in a pipeline form rather than, you have a flagship asset. And everything else doesn't get a lot of, bandwidth and interest. Uh-huh. We are moving the entire portfolio ahead. The lead asset is the Eau Claire asset, and it's located in the James Bay Gold Camp. So this is kind of it's not a new camp, but it's being reinvigorated, in my view. So I think it's newly emerging and re-emerging again. That has tremendous upside that was completely missed by the market. Right, and we can talk a bit more about that as you go, because you're familiar with East Main. About a million ounces of 8 grams, 60% of the resource is measured and indicated, which is very high quality and really what we purchased in the transaction. We just kicked off 50,000 meters devoted just to that program, exploration, infill, and step out drilling, and we really want to test that down plunge extension of the deposit. We're about 6 holes in, assays pending, and we're going to have results out shortly. And as I've said, and as we're talking, and certainly referencing some of the news going into Christmas, Eau Claire just continues to get better and better as we reveal more and more prospectivity at the deposit proper and along the trend. Every structure at Eau Claire is mineralized, and the market didn't get an appreciation for that. Mm-hmm. We've started some initial geophysics. We outlined a 7-kilometer trend intersecting high-grade structures. Within that is where we're going to be growing the resource. So our goal is pretty bold, Jay. We want to come in and we want to completely rescale the project. So in my view, that's a double. And we want to get to that first junior producer category of 150 to 200,000 ounces a year annual production scenario. That's a pretty big goal, right? And an opportunity for us to really lever our deep technical skill sets to outline and capture the upside and the value. The plan for exploration is crafted around that goal. And so, you know, we wanted to go out with some early and aggressive step-out drilling to test that 1-kilometer downplunge extension. Shortly, we're going to come out with some news as soon as we get results back on what we're calling our first expansion hole. It's the very first hole we put in the into the target on the downplunge extension. And this is going to be our B1 hole. So you're going to see that coming. It's 600 meters away from the deposit downplunge. So that's a huge step-out. Hitting gold-bearing structures in that hole, in my view, means that we are indeed on path to at least double Eau Claire, right? So you're going to see that a lot from Fury going forward, certainly on Eau Claire, but certainly on the other projects where, you know, we're going in with a theme bigger sooner, right? The sooner we know what we have, at any of the deposits, the sooner we know what we want to do, and the sooner we can have more efficient plans moving forward. So between that dramatic expansion of the Eau Claire deposit itself and some of the potential that we have actually on surface along trend, I'm pretty confident at our plans to rescale. The Homestake project resides at the southern tip of BC's Golden Triangle. It has a very nice starter resource of 1.2 million ounces. The approach for 2021, in my view, is a return to exploration. You know, my goals are to improve the ounce profile of the project. We're not getting a lot of valuation right now for Homestake, and I think that's for a few reasons. The first reason, and you're very aware of this, was that, you know, probably 18, 24 months going into the transaction, Orin had really been focusing on marketing their Peruvian assets.
Right.
Which made a lot of sense. And also, if you look back in the body of knowledge for Orin, you would have found that Homestake Ridge was signaled to be for sale.
Yes.
It's not for sale now. So we have a little bit of a reintroduction to do. And the best way I've found to reintroduce projects to the market and to investors is to hammer it with drilling. That's exactly what we're going to do this summer. So we're going to hit Homestake with the largest drill program that project has really seen to date. We want to upgrade the current resource, so that's a bit of a conversion on it. We want to test some exciting theories that the guys have to test some of the deep targets as we chase some of the high-grade shoots, right? The Golden Triangle is one of these places that when you go to depth, it can give, right? And that's part of the design of Fury and what it offers to investors, right? You know, you have some folks looking for, you know, that steady ounce addition and growing resources, right? Low-risk, resource expansion style growth. But then, you know, when you own a mining stock, you want to have a little bit of sizzle, right? And so and the sizzle comes with the potential new major discovery, new lens. Let's drill a kilometer and a half. Let's go into the unknown, right? And you want to do that to some extent. We want to be good stewards of our shareholders' capital, obviously.
Sure.
There's a lot of capital allocation. But I think from a share price appreciation, and from an excitement, and from a following, and from a rewards basis for our support of the shareholders, I think you do have to take these measured swings, because that's what gets people excited.
Yeah, I agree.
20 to 30,000 meters in the program will kick off in early summer, and the results are going to come out from that program at Homestake into September's conference season. So I think the timing of that's going to be perfect. Community Bay is really the third asset. Shareholders, in my view, are uniquely positioned in a world-class exploration project in Nunavut. We control a 300-kilometer greenstone belt, high-grade top to bottom, and most of the geological heavy lifting is behind us. I mean, Orin had been up there for 5 years, mm-hmm. which in Nunavut age really only means 11 months, which is interesting. dog years. You have 100 days a year mm-hmm. to go there and execute the plan, right? So we are gearing up, execute the plan. You know, some of your listeners probably saw the recent acquisition of TMAC by Agnico.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? And so when you have a great mining company like Agnico doubling down in Nunavut with a second operating platform, to me that's pretty compelling evidence that Nunavut, you know, despite its location on the globe and despite the temperatures and despite the two-week winter storms, is really one of those few places left in the world where you can still find and develop large, high-grade gold deposits. Right. So the feedback that we've been getting from investors has been very positive as they really start to anticipate what's to come this summer when they go up. Right. You saw that phenomenon a little bit with Orin. You'd see, you know, late spring, you know, share price appreciation, people getting excited, a lot more marketing by the company. And that's for good reason, because it's exciting. I think you're going to have, you're going to have a North America watching us as we go up, because that's an area of the world that can really give. Next summer is going to be the most impactful 10 to 15,000 meters of drilling that we have to date on the project. We're going to expand the Three Bluffs resource that we have there now. Mm-hmm. So 1.2 million ounces of over 7.5 grams. So again, that's an amazing start on our way to what you really need to have if you're going to convince people that you want to move ahead with the project. Critical mass, in my view, in Nunavut is around 5 million ounces, and you have to be over 7 grams.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a critical mass. That's the target. And we're also going to go up and hit some exciting regional targets, really for the first time on a new bit of fingerprinting. 2020 was a down year. You know, COVID and COVID restrictions. There's a lot of very vulnerable communities up in Nunavut, right? And we don't want to be the ones bringing COVID up to the
right,
to the
for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so we elected not to go last year. And so what we did is we looked at the data and we just re-ran and re-crunched. And the guys truly believe, and they've made me a believer, that we finally found the last fingerprint of the Three Bluffs high-grade signature. And it's at the highest range of conductivity, for those of you that resonates with. And so Basically, we have a filter. And then so we went out to the land position and ran that filter, and it turns out that we were 50 to 200 meters away from where the signature says to be drilling.
Uh-huh.
In the 2017, 2018, they were hitting the system, and they were getting critical widths, you know, 10, 30 meters of grade, but it was all 0.5, 1 gram, 2 grams, and not the 7 or above that you get at Three Bluffs. But now we're going out with a bit of a retool. And because now you can imagine in theory, now that there's a bit of an asset, a multiple asset approach, that Community Bay has to do less heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
If Community Bay was by itself in its own company, you know, you'd always have to be putting news out, active all the time. The COVID really would have made a negative impact. But because it's our third asset in the pipeline, we can be very focused and very selective on what we do when we go up. Uh-huh. And again, the whole point being to, you know, expose our shareholders to some discovery. I love the project. I'm familiar with the area. I think it's going to be, exciting. So no shortage of geological potential at the assets, and a very busy technical calendar this year, which I think is a great situation to be in. And it's certainly a great situation to be talking to people like you about, Jay, and marketing as you go through the year, because we're going to be very, you know, very catalyst rich, both major and minor, as you go through, and have our exploration work mm-hmm. and the news associated sequenced throughout the year mm-hmm. correctly.
Well, it sounds very exciting. All three projects, I had no idea that you were looking at it in such a large scale. But certainly scale is so important with these projects. That's where the money is made, when you can really find the number of ounces, the number of profitable ounces. And I just want to ask you, with just about 30 seconds left here, you have Eleanor South as a joint venture. I guess that's really early stage, but could you just take maybe 30 seconds or so and comment on that?
Yeah, Eleanor South was a project. It is a joint venture that we have with Newmont.
Okay.
And a smaller company based in Quebec called Azimuth Gold.
Oh, yes.
It is, you know, we didn't talk a lot about it going into the deal. It is contiguous to the south. It's 15,000 hectares contiguous to the south of Newmont's mine, which I think is a strategic land position. We've outlined a 5-kilometer geochem anomaly that we want to drill test in Q4. So I think going forward this year, we're going to be crystallizing the value at the East Main JV. So there's going to be some news out in Q1 on that and what our plans are. Previously in East Main, it was getting zero value. So I'm pretty excited about introducing this to the market and quite frankly, you know, lighting it up a little bit for that part of Quebec.
All right. So I guess just to wrap it up here, we'll be looking for some drill results, I guess, coming out of Eau Claire. And then ongoing exploration through the year, I guess, at on two of the projects. Well, all three, but drilling going on in all three projects. Some drilling.
Absolutely. And Jay, that was by design, right? So starting next week, it will be continuous for the foreseeable future.
All right, good. And you're well-financed, as I understand it, to take you through this year anyway. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. We have a strong treasury to drive growth for this year.
Excellent. All right, we'll have to leave it go at that, Michael. Thank you very much for a very informative discussion here to help us understand what you've got. I'm really excited about it now that I hear in more detail. So thank you so much, and we'll look forward to keeping up with you in the future.
Okay. All righty, folks. Thank you for having me.